and we're going to be joined by Brant Clark of Nepean, who is now a member of the Los Angeles Kings, one of two local players drafted very high in the first 10 picks of the draft this past weekend. Brant is going to join us in a couple of minutes from the airport in Toronto. He's flying out to the World Junior Canadian Summer Showcase event. So we'll have a couple of minutes to spend with Brant. We'll look forward to that, talk about his weekend. But in the meantime, oh man, it's always good to be joined by our next guest. He has been frothing at the bit to be a part of this spectacular that we call TSN Mornings. We say good morning and hello to our Sens color commentator and co-host for the day, Gord Wilson. How are you, Gordy? Oh,
my goodness. Good morning. All the better now. Thank you for having me. This is absolutely outstanding. What time is it? It's 7, almost 7:15, 7:12 to be exact. I've been up for a couple of hours now, so I've got a couple of coffees in me and new orthotics, so I'm all hopped up and ready to go here.
Wow.
Let's get her going.
Well, what kind of, should I ask? Like, what do you mean by
decaf?
Yeah. Oh, okay.
It's always an exciting day when you're 60 and you get new orthotics.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, I look forward to that day.
Oh, God. No, you don't.
How's your summer been? Good?
It's been good. Yeah. Very good. Thank you. Weather-wise, we certainly can't complain. It's been busy, you know. You turn into Uber driver when your kids get a little bit older and they start to work and they continue to participate in sports and stuff. So that's my life right now. And of course, my wife is quite busy. And
you know what, Gordy, that's all well and fine. That's all good. What about the dogs? What about Jackson and Levi? What's the update? That's what we all really care about.
You know, well, I've got one of them lying at my feet as we speak. Levi is here curled up beside me. Jackson's downstairs. He's a little upset that he hasn't gone out for a morning walk yet. They've been fed. The backyard is full of holes. Levi is a digger, as was Jackson at that age. Levi just got fixed, so he's
a little down in the dumps.
Oh, he's fine, actually.
Did he have the same reaction you did?
Yeah, no, I don't know. I'm not sure. Yeah, he can do things that I wasn't able to do. So
he would have liked to have tried, but it's just not capable.
Yeah. Although I didn't have stitches. So.
Yeah. No, there was a day. Yeah, absolutely. Was, okay. Sure. So that procedure was fairly recently.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Good.
It's
well,
etched in his memory anyway. So.
Yeah. All right. Well, we got lots of, it's good to have you on today because we got a ton of hockey stuff to go over and we're going to have Brant Clark. We're just connecting with Brant here. So we'll have him on in just a second. You're looking forward to free agency day or is it a bit of the shine off since most of the guys have been re-signed?
Well, it's been incredible, and obviously attention does focus on the Senators and Brady Tkachuk, and I know your first hour has you've involved Brady quite a bit in discussion.
That's
here,
what I do. Everything circles back to Brady Tkachuk.
Well, it does, you know, and with Landeskog signing, if you're just joining us, an 8-year, $56 million contract, that could be the benchmark. I still think that the Thomas Chabot contract with the Senators is the benchmark for Brady. I think if you just double down and go 8 years, 64, deal is done and you avoid a bridge contract. But I do think, JR, that you're on the right path. I think anybody who thinks that a bridge contract is probably the stronger possibility is on the right path. But at the same time, money does talk. And in today's uncertainty, maybe there is the possibility that the $64 million is rather enticing. It certainly should be. And if the owner has the wherewithal to do it, I say, why waste time? Get it done and provide some stability within the fan base that the organization is serious about heading in the direction that they appear to be going in and have been going in for the last couple of seasons since Brady arrived, basically. We've been given the indication of how this team wants to play, I think because of him, and just continue on that path. And why not for the next 8 years? If that's what it takes.
All right. We'll talk more about that throughout the morning. And Dave Poulin, our TSN Hockey Insider, will give us his thoughts after 8 o'clock this morning. But let's jump to the Gabriel Pizza Hotline very early this Wednesday morning because our next guest is awaiting a flight out west. And he is a very happy camper because he achieved a huge dream for any hockey player by being drafted into the National Hockey League in the first round last Friday night. He is Brant Clark from Nepean, Ontario, who is now a member of the Los Angeles Kings. How are you doing this morning, Brant?
I'm doing pretty good. Thanks for having me on.
You got that early morning squeak in your voice like you're just not quite used to being up this early. But I know you're heading out to the summer showcase, so we'll talk about that in just a second. But I think all of us, Brant, were taken by your reaction that we saw during the television coverage of the draft after being picked by Los Angeles. Kind of take us through that moment.
Yeah, you know, it was really special. You know, a lot of people from out of town kind of came in to support me, my friends and family, and the kind of, you know, you were sitting there, you didn't really know what was going to happen. There were some teams that were higher that said they were really high on me, and then they passed on me, and then I also knew LA was high on me, but, you know, those teams already passed on me, so it was kind of in my own head a bit. I wasn't really sure what was going to happen, but kind of that sigh of relief when it did happen, and you saw the excitement, you saw all my family jumping up and down, and you saw the emotion on my face. I was I couldn't be happier. Like I've said this before, but it was the best day of my life, and it truly was. I worked so hard for that moment, and I'm really honored to be an LA King.
Well, yeah, and congratulations on that, and thanks for providing the moment, because it was, we all share in the excitement, you know, when a player reacts the way you did, Brant. So congratulations on that. How much discussion did you have with LA prior to the draft?
Yeah, they were definitely one of the teams I talked to the most. Like, three Zoom calls I had with them, and then I had that with some other teams too. But I knew there was definitely a lot of interest there, and there was a lot of interest by me too. You know, it's a big market, and they have a really solid young core coming up with prospects, and I'm honored to be a part of that.
We're with Brant Clark, drafted by the LA Kings last Friday. Now, Brant, I don't know how it works, but I did notice that in the aftermath of your celebration and your euphoria, somebody threw an LA, not just a hat, because all you guys, I think, did you have hats from all 32 teams in the NHL?
Yes. We got sent all 32 hats.
Yeah, okay, so, but I did see a Kings jersey get thrown in there as well, and I don't know that everybody had a jersey, because it's a virtual draft. Did you have jerseys from all the teams as well, or did you kind of have a thought of, you had, like how many jerseys did you have to throw on?
No, this is actually a funny story. My uncle, who came down from Toronto, went to, like, Pro Hockey Life like 2 days before, and he felt like he wanted me to be have a jersey in that moment, so he bought like 1 through 15, and he's like, he told the guys, like, I'm gonna return 14 of these.
Oh, fantastic.
So that's how I had the jersey, and I'm, you know, it was pretty cool.
Well, that is a great
take
story.
The price tag on any off any of them,
there was,
could you?
There was a little tag, and
I know.
Oh, that's a fantastic story. Now, what are you going to do? Okay, you're going to keep your LA Kings hat, I'm sure. What are you going to do with the other 31 hats?
I was actually just dishing them out to my family members, telling which one they look the coolest. I don't have any of them anymore. I just kept giving them out. Some of my buddies got drafted too, so I gave them the hats of the teams they went to. But I didn't feel the need to keep them.
I'm assuming your brother shared in the excitement and perhaps maybe was a little bit more excited. What was Graham's reaction?
Graham was ecstatic. You know, Graham's been a huge part of my entire life, and I was there for his draft. I was just as excited when he got selected, and we didn't have to wait as long for me, but he's got big things coming for him. He got the contract with New Jersey, and he's going to do really special things. And you saw the emotion on his face too. My whole family was just really, really pumped up, and so was I.
You got family bragging rights, at least as far as draft position goes. Now, New Jersey, of course, had the fourth pick in the draft, so they had an opportunity to take you. And of course, your brother is a member of the organization already. Was it a disappointment when that didn't happen, or what was your reaction?
I don't know. I feel like it was more so a disappointment for my family. My family was really talking that, trying to speak it into existence. But I guess that's not the way that they wanted to go, and it is what it is. I'm happy to be an LA King, and I'm not kind of thinking twice about it. I'm not thinking, I wish they took me. I wish someone higher took me. I've been really happy with how it played out, and I'm, the organization seems great. I've talked to all the front office, and some players have reached out, so I'm really happy with my situation.
Brant, correct me if I'm wrong, but you've been to LA since the draft, correct?
No, I have not.
Oh, you've not? Okay. I saw a picture posted on social media, and I thought you were in LA. It looked like it. Okay. So
that's his uncle's jersey that he bought at Pro Hockey Life, Gordon.
I guess. Oh, yes. Yeah. Standing in front of Pro Hockey Life, returning 14 others.
He's probably doing that right now, to be honest with you.
Yeah, okay. So the plan is obviously not to get there for another couple of weeks or a month or so, eh?
Yes, I think they want us to go down late August or something like that. Yeah. They haven't given me an exact date yet, but I'm excited to go.
How much have you looked at? How much did you look at ahead of time at LA? And of course, you'd be familiar certainly with Drew Doughty. I mean, you're a right shot offensive defenseman. You couldn't learn under a better guy, first and foremost. But how much have you kind of looked through the team and the prospects and that part of it since you got drafted?
Yeah, I've definitely done a lot more research. You know, kind of see who they got in that organization. And yeah, obviously, you know, Drew's quite the player for a really long time. He has been for a really long time. He's one of the most complete players in the NHL. He won Norris Trophy, 2-time Stanley Cup champion. So, yeah, learning out of that guy was pretty cool. But just in general, they have a great prospect pool coming up. You know, they took Byfield last year. They have some other OHL guys that I played against that are really talented. So, yeah, it's just to be now a big part of that to that young core, I'm really excited, and I think we're going to do special things.
So you are now headed out to, in the short term, the World Junior Summer Showcase. Tell us, you're at the Toronto Airport as we speak, so what's going to be going on over the next few days?
Yeah, we're kind of just arriving today, no ice today, but it's just a lot of scrimmages and stuff. They want to see how we've been doing, how we've progressed, and yeah, it's all kind of leading up to the World Juniors in December, and this is just kind of putting yourself on the map, you know, putting in a good showing for all these Team Canada executives, and hoping that it carries over to a camp invite in December.
Yeah, you're one of 51 players invited to this camp. Do you know Dave Cameron at all?
I do not. I do not know him personally, no.
You're in for a treat. Wonderful, wonderful man here. Now the head coach, obviously, of Canada's junior program. 16 defensemen going to this. What are your expectations going in? Is it just go and play your game, do your thing, and I guess for lack of a better term, showcase yourself?
It is, yeah. That kind of is my mindset right now. You know, I want to put on a good showing, but you know, I don't want to get ahead of myself. I don't want to try to put on a show or try to go end-to-end every time. That's not my game. I just want to do what I'm good at, you know, those breakout passes, you know, getting shots through from the point. And if I do those and I do all the things that I excel at, I think it's going to be a good showing for me. And but I'm definitely not going to change the style of play that I do just so I get noticed more.
With Brant Clark of Nepean, drafted by the LA Kings, heading out to Canada's World Junior Summer Showcase. So 2020 and 2021, the world has been kind of turned upside down, and your world, like everybody's, I'm sure, has as well. But are you trying to imagine what the end of this year might be like? I mean, your dream of being drafted in the National Hockey League, that's now a reality of potentially as well suiting up for Team Canada at the World Juniors. Have you allowed yourself to think that far?
I have, yeah. You know, that kind of is the next big thing on the checklist that I really want to do. And there's a long ways to go. You know, I'm gonna have to have a good showing here. I am gonna have to come out of the gates hot when I'm in Barrie. And obviously, everyone wants to be on the team. It's the highlight of junior hockey. But the fact that I'm definitely in consideration and my name's definitely gonna be in the talks to be on that team, it's pretty exciting. And the fact that Canada's hosting it this year, you can't ask for much more than that.
Have you done anything different this summer in terms of training, Brant, or has it just been status quo and do your thing that you've done, you know, for the last couple of summers?
I'd say status quo. You know, I work out with Tony Greco. He's great. We have a great group. And then I'm just on the ice 3 to 4 times a week. So I feel like I'm making good strides, but nothing like outlandish that I've been doing. I just kind of doing my regular summer routine, and I think it's been going really well for me.
Okay, we'd be remiss if I didn't ask you as we wrap up here. I think the last time we had you on a couple of months ago or so, you talked about the fact that your parents were, and I guess you were, season ticket holders for the Sens. You guys had the seats where often after the Sens did something good, the camera automatically panned, and we saw you and Graham quite a bit as very, very, very young boys. Is there any kind of thought about how it would have been nice to go to Ottawa, or were you just happy to be drafted and didn't really think about it?
No, I was definitely thinking about Ottawa being a possibility, and yeah, that'd be a really cool, you know, full circle kind of thing. I've been, I went to so many games. We did have season tickets and everything, but looking back now, I wouldn't trade anything. I'm ecstatic to be an LA King, and I just can't wait to get going with them.
All right. Awesome to see you achieve a dream on Friday. That was really cool to watch that. Good luck this week on the Summer Showcase, and I will look forward to chatting with you again down the road.
Sounds like a plan. Thank you for having me on, guys.
All right. Thank you very much.
Fantastic.
There is Brant Clark of the Los Angeles Kings on the Gabriel Pizza Hotline. Gabriel Pizza, it's the bigger, better pizza. Order online at GabrielPizza.com.
My goodness, things happen fast, don't they? He's 18 years old from El Barhaven to El Segundo. Okay? Like, it's incredible. And I got duped here. I'm sorry that I asked. I thought he was in L.A. I don't know if you guys saw that social media picture of him in a Kings uniform, but it looked as though there was a neon L.A. Kings background. Or a picture of him in the background, and I thought,
if you look close enough, you could see the Kanata Centrum in the back where the pro hockey life is.
Well, in any case, he's off to Los Angeles, and the bright lights and the sandy beaches. And
isn't that a great story about the uncle going to pro hockey life,
fantastic.
Buying 15 uniforms of the first 15 bits? Yeah. Oh, by the way, I'll be returning 14 of these on Saturday.
Yeah, well, I guess so. Oh, my goodness. You probably wouldn't tell too many people that because they'd all be asking for one of them, for heaven's sake. So, yeah, it is absolutely terrific. And you know what? He was rated as high as 2 or 3 at one point. You go 8th overall. It's a pretty high accomplishment. You almost fall to 8th. For heaven's sakes, he is a wonderful talent, just a fantastic player. And I can't help but think, and I read one pre-draft scout about scouting report on him about the possibility of being almost a Drew Doughty type player. There's no question that he's got the offensive skill comparable to what Doughty has. Doughty's got a little bit of nastiness to him, but he had to develop that. He's, what, 31 years old? This young man could very easily be Los Angeles's next Drew Doughty. It'll be fun to watch his development for sure.
And it's a great situation for Brent because he is going to be walking into, and Drew Doughty and Anze Kopitar are, on the wrong side of 30. Could argue that neither is at the top of his game any longer. That being said, a lot of people think that the Kings have, if not the best prospect pool in the NHL, pretty darn close. You're now going to be walking into a situation where you're going to be graduating into the NHL with a lot of other good young hockey players. So a chance for you out in L.A. to, to kind of where the Senators are at right now, with an opportunity to ascend to a pretty special place pretty quickly if everything aligns itself. So that's a nice situation
absolutely.
To fall into.
Yeah,
and you're in L.A., which is never a bad thing either.
No, not at all. Absolutely. Yeah, congratulations to the young man and his family. What a fun time ahead, for sure. Parents are going to be busy going from Jersey to L.A., that's for sure.
Yeah, a lot of cross-country flights. All right, good stuff. Thanks again to Brant Clark for joining us. We'll take a break, 7:29. Goody is sitting in for Simmer today. We'll take a break, come back, talk a little bit more about Penny Oleksiak's big night in the pool as she adds to Canada's medal total. And we'll go through the rest of all the hockey news as we get set for free agency to open at noon today. You're listening to Sports Radio TSN 1200.
This is TSN 1200.
All right, welcome back, 7:34. Don't forget, just before 8 o'clock, your chance to play our TSN 1200 $1,000 minute. Chance to put $1,000 in your pocket as we head toward the long weekend. Wouldn't that be nice? So stand by if you're cue to text on that, and we'll get our winner for the Sebastian Maniscalco tickets coming up in just a second. Gord Wilson is in for a Simmer today. Gordy, into the... You doing the Summer Olympics? Are you into it at all, or kind of got nothing to do every once in a while checking it out on TV?
Checking it out on TV, listening to the results on TSN 1200. Yeah, not doing a whole lot of coverage, personal coverage, but certainly fun to watch the success. Did we send a men's team?
Did we send any? Oh, I see. Yes.
Yeah, men at all?
It's a great question. It's a great question. The scoreboard.
Very legitimate.
For those wondering right now, gender-wise is 9-0. Women, 9. Men, 0. Right.
And
now.
Penny is how many? She's got 2 now?
She's got 2 with a chance for, I think, I was talking about this in the first hour. I think at this point, she's in for 3 more events, 2 of which she won a gold and a silver in down in Rio.
Yeah.
The 100 free and the 100 butterfly. So pretty good opportunity. She's got a chance to add to her now record-breaking medal total. She became the most decorated Summer Olympian ever last night in the
200-meter
freestyle.
Yeah.
Here's how it sounded.
Oleksiak is in great position. She's got a good last 50 meters, and she's now got a battle with a Chinese swimmer for the bronze medal. Ledecky's not going to medal.
Ariane Titmus has got the lead. She's going to touch first. Titmus for gold, and Haughey and a from the six has got six Olympic medals.
There you go. The call courtesy CBC, Penny Oleksiak bringing it home for the bronze medal, her second medal of these games, sixth overall. Did you end up, I don't know if you're watching in live time, have you seen the highlight of her race?
No, I have not.
Okay, all right. Man, she dug in. Like, that is not her best event. Of the four events she's in, registered for and won medals in Rio, this is the her least best. Is that even a, does that term even work linguistically? I'm going to go with it. Her least best event, and because she is more of a 100 meter specialist in all of her events. This is a 200 meter race, so she went out quick, and then it's just a matter of does she have enough gas left in the tank to kind of bring it home. And you know, the two favorites in the race ended up going 1-2, but she is like stroke for stroke with the girl that's in the lane right beside her. And you just have a feeling because that's what she does, man. She is the heart of a lion. She just digs in, and about halfway through the final length of the pool, you can just see that she realizes, okay, I got to beat the one girl that's right beside me right now, and she's looking right at her, and she just brings it on. She won by an eyelash. Like, it was really, really close. But, man, I have all kinds of time for – you can just tell with some athletes that they're just going to get it done. She's just going to get it done by hook or by crook athlete, Penny Oleksiak.
Well, and it makes it all that much more difficult when you're in a pool and you know that you've got a sense, obviously, that you've got somebody right beside you that is stride for stride or stroke for stroke in this case. And to be able to, as you say, dig in or dive in here and pull out that extra little bit. And obviously, you know, when you are going twice the distance from your special, it's an incredible feeling, obviously. And to have that will and that ability to do something like that makes it that much more special. And that's why she's the most decorated now with six medals to her credit.
Most
fantastic.
Most decorated summer Olympian and now tied for the most decorated Olympian ever with Clara Hughes and Cindy Klassen, of course, who were greats on the speed skating track. So she'll have an opportunity to break that record as well coming up in the pool before the end of these games. So that has been the one medal so far for Canada today. It's day five wrapping up over in Tokyo, or it's mid-evening over there right now. So I don't know that Canada's got any other medal contenders today. Of course, we got a women's weightlifting gold kind of in the middle of, like, nobody even talked about it. And all of a sudden, oh, we just won another gold medal. Okay, that's the way it works when it's halfway around the world. So we'll keep our eye on it for you. But right now, the one medal so far for Canada, so we're at nine as we sit here this morning, two gold, three silver, and four bronze.
All compliments of the women.
Yes, exactly. So, I can't confirm. You know what? I did see a bit of the men's volleyball last night. So there are some males that are out there wearing the Canadian colors. So
The men's basketball team. Oh, no, never mind.
They're not there either. No.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get to the hockey stuff because I want to get your reaction to the biggest news, I think, as we head toward free agency, Gordy. And Gabriel Landeskog of Colorado was one of the big names that was on the board, set to hit the market at noon today. He's no longer going to hit the market. He's no longer on the board, because he re-signed just before midnight last night. And why that was important is you had to sign by midnight if you're going to re-sign with your team to get the eighth year.
8 years,
If you didn't re-sign before midnight, if it got into today, then you didn't get the eighth year. So that was a bit of a ticking clock for both sides. And they found a way to get it done. 8 years and $56 million for Gabriel Landeskog. $7 million per year for the Colorado captain. So he will remain with the Avalanche, maybe for the rest of his career if he ends up serving out this entire contract. And for Colorado, I mean, they just signed Cale Makar to a $9 million contract. Mikko Rantanen signed, was it last year, I think, or the year before? $9.5 million, I believe. Yeah. They've got Nate MacKinnon on this unbelievable contract of 6.1 or 6.3, whatever it is, just over $6 million for a guy.
It is incredible.
For a guy who should be the MVP or could have been the MVP of the league a couple of times now. And I think I look at it right now, Gord, and it's kind of like I believe that Colorado's window is the next 2 years while MacKinnon's still on that under market contract. And then after that, I think this is all going to start to catch up with them, all these huge contracts. So I understand why they went to the lengths they did. Landeskog is a huge, huge player for them in so many reasons.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you in this window of opportunity over the next couple of seasons. I'm looking right now at their depth chart, and Pavel Francouz is their goaltender. Mm-hmm. That's all they have. Okay, so Philip Grubauer has to fall into line here, and they have to get him under contract. And preferably, I think if you're if you're Joe Sakic in the Avalanche, you have to get him long term. That being said, I'm salivating at the opportunity of keeping your captain in the organization for the next 8 years. If I'm Joe Sakic, I have zero issues with paying $56 million. I'm of the belief, and I may be completely out to lunch here, I think it's a steal. I think this is a bargain here for the Avalanche. They're going to have issues, and you're right. Nate McKinnon has this year at 6'3", and next year at 6'3", and then he becomes an unrestricted free agent. Well, he's going to be obviously continuing in his prime over the next couple of seasons. So they have to obviously think of a long-term scenario financially in getting Nate under contract long-term. But if they can get these big three, and Rantanen and Landeskog and McKinnon are three of the best, if you can have three, and now Cale Makar here, for heaven's sakes, this is a core of this franchise long-term. The window could extend beyond 2 years here, JR. I really think that. Joe knows what he's doing. Joe seems to know what he's doing. I find it fascinating that we all get caught up in this posturing that every unrestricted or potential unrestricted free agent goes through, because Gabe was unhappy at 11:30 last night. When I went to bed, there were, the possibility of the signing was almost a distant memory here, just because it was getting so close to midnight, and it didn't look like either side was going to,
bend
or cater to another's need. And obviously, when you look at it, it looks pretty simple, doesn't it? 8 years, $56 million. Thank you very much. And Gabe says thank you, and the Avs say thank you very much. It's pretty simple, but at the same time, and I don't know about you, but I thought this was going to get done. I didn't think he was going to go to market. He gave us all the indications in the world that he loves Colorado, wants to stay in Colorado, and wants to be an Avalanche for life. But we do get caught up in all the hype and to the potential of him being out on the open market. And all those reports out there were exactly true in saying there would be 31 other teams that would be very, very interested in getting Gabe Landeskog under contract. This guy's a player. Okay. A reason that he was the youngest captain in franchise history. What was he? Was he 19? Was he 20 years old
19,
when he became cap? 19 when he became captain of the team in his second year, for heaven's sakes. A stud. And every team would like to have him. And again, you know, it circles back to our original conversation when I first came on the air about Brady Tkachuk, and, you know, almost cut from the same cloth, from the same mold, basically. And, the Senators, I think, desperately want to get Brady under contract long term.
You know what? It's to me, very similar players. Left winger.
Yep.
Can play it any way you want it. Captain in terms of Landeskog, captain material in terms mm-hmm. of Tkachuk. Numbers wise, I went through it, but I'll go through it again for those that weren't with us the first hour. I'll just go through the last 3 years of Landeskog, so recent history. And these are all prorated numbers. We've had shortened seasons, etc. But over 82 games, his last 3 years would have been 38 goals, 84 points, 32 goals, 67 points, 30 goals, 79 points. Would have been, if he played full 82 games the last 3 years, what Gabriel Landeskog's numbers would have been. I think if you project out Brady Tkachuk on a better Ottawa Senator team, as you look into the future, I think Brady Tkachuk, based on what we've seen so far, can be a 30 to 35 goal scorer. And I think that he can get to 60, 70, maybe 70 plus points. Plus all the other intangibles he brings to the table that we have talked about a million times. To me, these are very, very similar players.
Yep.
And if this is the... Now, they are at different points of their career. And Gabriel Landeskog, on a better, much better team than Ottawa is right now, had leverage. He was 12 hours away from becoming an unrestricted free agent. So if he wanted to, he could have gone to market, and I think probably might have gotten more money somewhere else. You had a team like Seattle, right? That had tons of room, that is looking to establish a culture what better guy to be the face of your franchise for the, you know, even though you're maybe not going to be that great and he's going to be heading into his 30s pretty soon. If you want a culture setter for your team, you couldn't pick a better guy. I just think for a bunch of different reasons, I think Brady Tkachuk and Gabriel Landeskog are very, very, there's a lot of similarities there. And I'm thinking if I'm Pierre Dorion right now, I'm taking that Colorado contract, I'm scratching out Landeskog's name, I'm putting in Brady Tkachuk's name, and I'm faxing it, because we're still faxing, faxing that over to Brady Tkachuk's agent and say, what do you think of this? 8 times 7. Now, you're probably getting it back saying, no thanks, but I think that maybe that's a starting point.
Well, if it's a starting point, then the ending point should be the same as Thomas Chabot's at 8'8 and $64 million.
Right, so it's starting to crystallize, I guess, is my point now, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what? Zero issue with that. I've been thinking for the last year that identical contracts involving Chabot and Brady Tkachuk would be very fitting and very suitable to all parties involved here. Now, it's easy enough for me to say that, but the potential exists for more money for Brady, obviously, and who knows what's going to lie down the road for that. That being said, I'll take it one step further here. And as far, do we have time here to do this?
Yes, absolutely. Gordon? We've got all kinds of time for you. And what is probably going to be, I want everybody to, if you're driving right now, I want you to pull over, because I don't even know what Gord is going to say, but this is going to be
worth pulling over.
Oh, okay. Never mind. Then carry on.
Yeah. Well, you know, when you take a look at, and I don't disagree with your comment about Brady and Gabe being very similar players without question, the one issue with numbers that, that we throw out there, Brady doesn't have Mikko Rantanen or Nate MacKinnon to play alongside, or have Cale Makar yet in the lineup. So until that happens, I think the numbers are a little bit unfair to pass judgment on. But, you know, 22 goals in his first season as rookie of the year in 2011-2012 for Gabe Landeskog. And I don't think it's a stretch to say that Brady's numbers were very comparable in his first
year.
He had 22 goals in his first year. So I think the numbers dropped off for Gabe in his second year, but only because it was a shortened season. What I'm getting at is you're only as good as those around you sometimes. And I know good players or great players make good players that much better. Landeskog has that ability to do that. Brady clearly does. I don't think there's any question that we've seen Brady have the ability to lift his teammates to a higher level. And I think one of the reasons why Josh Norris had such a terrific rookie season in the NHL was the fact that Brady Tkachuk was flanking his left side. And that's not to take anything away from Josh. He's a fantastic player and is going to develop into a number one center on this team. But, you know, having Brady as a shotgun or sitting shotgun will make him that much better. And Brady has that ability. Gabe has that ability. The two are very, very comparable. And I think it sets the bar nicely and sets up the bar nicely for the Senators in terms of wanting to negotiate a new deal with Brady.
I agree with you on that. Chabot, a Tkachuk contract that's the same as Chabot, makes sense for a bunch of different reasons. They are, you know, they're the centerpiece of the rebuild here in Ottawa, and have been and will be going forward. Now you have a comparable, just in terms of style of player, on another team, also on a long-term contract. This all being said, I still think that Tkachuk is probably going to opt for a shorter-term deal, probably a bridge contract for 3 years. I just think that's the way that a lot of the young players coming out now are what they're looking at. We still have a lot of money that's not in the system, that if everything kind of reestablishes itself over the next 2 or 3 years, we'll see the cap start to rise, and therefore the percentage of money that's available to somebody who's signing a contract in 2 or 3 years might be higher than it is right now. So I think for a bunch of different reasons, if it is about money, and money is a huge part of it, there's no doubt about that. I think that, and plus you're going to have more leverage if you're Brady Tkachuk, if you're coming up for a new contract 3 years from now, right? You would be a year away from unrestricted free agency at that point. So if it's about, if money is a huge part of it, and I know we're talking, it doesn't matter. We're talking tens of millions of dollars, no matter what, But I don't know of anybody, you know, everybody says, oh, you know what, it's 40, 50 million. What's the difference? You know what? It takes a big man to walk away from 10 million, you know, million extra dollars, you know, I don't know that I would do that. So
I'll tell you what, it takes a big man as well to say, I'm going to take, and I mean, this is a disgusting term here, okay, when you're dealing with tens of millions of dollars here, but it takes a big man as well to say, I'll take a hometown discount. Mm-hmm. Okay. And there's a very legitimate possibility that Gabe Landeskog has left money on the table to stay in Colorado. I'm going to ask you this here, because we're coming through and still continuing to go through unprecedented times here with this pandemic. I wonder, and I don't think there's any question, prior to the last 18 months, the word pandemic never, ever crossed the lips of any agent or in discussion in any agency office. There was never an agent who used the word pandemic when talking to his client about the potential of signing a long-term deal or going bridge term. And it's easy to compare Brady and his brother Matthew. And Matthew went through this process. Let's take a bridge deal here. The money's going to be probably a little bit better if you're gambling on yourself, if you're betting on yourself. But with a flat cap era here now for what? Are we thinking at least 2 years? Mm-hmm. Okay. Possibly three, possibly even beyond, depending on pandemic, that word. It will not leave our lips here now for quite some time, I don't think. And because it's happened now, there is still the potential that another one can come along. And I can guarantee that agents will be talking about that potential scenario when dealing with long-term contracts or short-term contracts. And it's happened now. So if there's a long-term deal to be had, and it's a guarantee, and there is zero uncertainty moving forward that you're guaranteed $8 million over the next 8 years, because who knows what's going to happen after your bridge contract? We may be in the next pandemic.
Yeah, you may get injured.
There's that possibility. Yeah,
there's uncertainty from a million different angles, for sure.
From a million different angles. So why not take into account eliminate the uncertainty? It's a guaranteed contract, for heaven's sakes. And I, you know, it's all well and good to say, yep, we're going to bet on ourselves. We're gambling on ourselves. And the Tkachuk brothers certainly have every reason to. There's no question that they are as consistent as Gabriel Landeskog has been. I don't know.
I'll bring one other thought into why shorter-term contract may be more desirable. And it's not just because it's about Ottawa and all the uncertainty we've had with a lot of star players leaving. One thing is, you know, Brady Tkachuk is tied to the Ottawa Senators for four more years before he could potentially be an unrestricted free agent, right? I think if you were to inject Connor McDavid, for instance, with truth serum and say, if you could do a take back on the 8 year, and I know you got $12.5 million with the Edmonton Oilers, you got all the money you want, but how happy is Connor McDavid right now playing on a team that never makes the playoffs and doesn't look like it's close to winning a Stanley Cup? He's going to get his money regardless, right? And maybe he's even going to end up with less because there's less money in the market because there's a pandemic. But if Connor McDavid had have signed a bridge deal with Edmonton, and then he would have been coming up to, correct me if I'm wrong, right, his age 27 year would be coming up in a couple of years, he could dictate where he wants to go. Maybe he doesn't want to play in Edmonton. I'll use him as an example. So I just use that as that's the one downside of committing long-term to one team is you have to have because you want to make money and you also want to win. I know two things about hockey players. They like to win and they like to make a lot of money. And if one of those equations is off the table because of whatever, because of organizational chaos, whatever it may be, or your general manager can't get his you-know-what together, you know, they're signing the wrong players, you know, all those things that we're seeing with a lot of other franchises, you're locked in. Connor McDavid is locked in to Edmonton now for another five seasons, or four seasons, whatever it is. That's the one upside of leaving yourself the option of not tying yourself down long-term. You're still going to get your money short-term.
Yeah.
I'll throw that out there as well.
It's all about selling the plan, too, isn't it? I mean, the Senators, Pierre Dorion has to go into contract negotiations with the Tkachuk camp with the eye to selling the overall plan. It's all well and good to say, we got lots of money here for you. But you're right. Two things come to play for a player, making money and winning. And for a lot of players, one takes precedence over the other. Brady Tkachuk, I think, wants to win. Connor McDavid wants to win. He's going to get paid. He knows he's going to get paid. But there is that desire over, you know, the value of the contract to win. And that's where the plan has to come into play here. The plan has to be sold properly. And when you've got a player like Thomas Chabot, you know, under contract for the next 7 years or 6 years or whatever it might be, and go lockstep with a contract that Brady potentially will get offered, that's all part of the plan here. And I think it's clear that the Senators are moving in the right direction with the parts that they have. My guess is over the next, what day is today, JR? It's
28th of July.
Wednesday. You know what? I wouldn't be surprised if by Friday there's a contract extension handed to DJ Smith. We talk about players being the type of players that the coach likes. My guess is that DJ Smith is the type of coach that Brady Tkachuk likes.
Coach gets an extension before the general manager?
Yeah. I wouldn't doubt it.
Wow. Because it's the general manager who's giving the extension, right?
Well, it's somebody above the general manager who's saying, give this guy an extension.
Right. Well, okay. All right. Is that a little bird telling you that, Gord? Or is that...
A thought.
Just a thought. Okay. There we go. Okay. All right. We'll keep our eye on that. Amongst many things, as we hit free agency, and will the Sens be a player in that, or more of a trade thing, or is this going to be something that we'll see meander into the month of August and maybe even to September? On anything we chat about, always welcome. You can text us at 12-1200, tweet at us at TSN1200. We'll get the thoughts of TSN hockey insider Dave Poulin when he joins us after 8 o'clock this morning. But if you would like to play our TSN 1200 $1,000 minute and with an opportunity to win $1,000, text us right now and be lucky. Texter number. How about this? Brady Tkachuk at 8x8, 64. There you go. Texter number 64 at 12-1200. Standard messaging rates apply. We'll play our TSN 1200 $1,000 minute next here on TSN 1200.
TSN 1200's $1,000 minute.
All right, we're ready to go. And our contestant this morning is Rennie. How you doing this morning, Rennie?
Hey, good morning, guys.
Say hi to our good friend, Gord Wilson.
Hey, Gord.
Good morning, Rennie. Oh, my gosh. I'm feeling really, really confident in your skills here today.
Wow.
Oh, that's good, because, you know, I'm a solid three, usually.
A solid three. Okay.
One above me.
Setting the bar very high. Okay. All right, Rennie, here's the way the $1,000 minute works. I've got 10 questions. You got 60 seconds. If you go 10 for 10, not 3 for 10, but 10 for 10, you're going to win the $1,000. We'll give you $10 for every correct answer. Here are the very simple rules. I need all of your answers by the time the 60-second buzzer goes. I need to accept your first full, complete answer. If you want to, you can pass on a question, and if we have time, we'll go back to it. Okay?
Sounds good.
All right. I want to wish you the best of luck, Rennie, and Gord does too. We're going to start in 3, 2, 1, go. Within one, how many gold medals does Canada have so far at the Olympics?
One.
What team did El Presidente, Dennis Martinez, throw a no-hitter for?
Yankees.
What team does Penny Oleksiak's hockey-playing brother play for?
Sharks.
What sport does Simone Biles do?
Gymnastics.
How many Stanley Cups has Marc-Andre Fleury won, one or two?
Two.
Besides Gretzky and Howe, name one other player Alex Ovechkin trails in all-time goals.
Andrew Chuck.
What NFL team did Barry Sanders play for?
Vikings.
True or false, ballroom dancing is part of this summer's Olympics?
Let's go true.
What decade did the Blue Jays begin their existence in? Decade.
70s.
Dougie Hamilton was drafted by what team? Sorry?
St. Louis?
Okay, all right. All right, we've got 10 answers. Rennie, what was your bar? Three?
Three.
Three, okay. All right, here we go.
Oh, this is going to be a stretch, Rennie.
Within one, how many gold medals has Canada won so far? You said one. They have two. You got that
I
one
got
right.
Two.
All right.
I'm not allowed to play along here, am I?
No, you can afterward. What team did Dennis Martinez throw his no-hitter for? That was the Expos, Rennie. The Expos, not the Yankees.
Close.
Penny Oleksiak's hockey-playing brother plays for Seattle. What sport does
they don't play yet? I'm not sure that counts.
Rennie, don't be doing that to me, Rennie. I want to be your friend here. Simone Biles is a gymnast, so you got that one right. Marc-Andre Fleury has won one Stanley Cup. Besides Gretzky and Howe, name another player. Ovi Trails, Hull, Brett Hull, Jágr, and Marcel Dion were the other names you could have chosen. Barry Sanders only played for the Detroit Lions. Ballroom dancing is not part of the Olympics this year. The Blue Jays began in the 70s. And Dougie Hamilton was drafted by Boston. What do we got for Rennie?
We've got, guess what?
$30. Yes! Rennie, you achieved your goal, buddy.
Oh, yeah, that's good, eh?
Yeah, that's good. That's good. It's $30 more than you had 5 minutes ago, right?
That's right.
All right, congrats, man. Appreciate you listening and playing the game, and have a great day.
Thanks, guys. Have a great day, too. Bye.
All right, there we go. All right. Gord, I won't even ask how many you got, right? Did you beat Rennie?
I'd beat Rennie. Oh, okay. Yes. Yeah. Now, you know what? I'm okay. Marc-Andre Fleury.
Am I wrong there?
Yeah. Yes. He's won 3 Stanley Cups. He's a 3-time cup winner. He won as a player, as a starter, he won. Mm. And he was backing up twice, I think. Didn't he get yanked? And certainly the run where Ottawa was up, they skunked Pittsburgh.
You know what? I forgot about the fact he didn't play in those ones, but won a Stanley Cup. You know what? Give Rennie 10 more bucks. Move him up to $40. That was my mistake.
He's still wrong.
He was still wrong.
I said 1 or 2. I didn't give him the option of 3. So that's okay. My mistake. So I'm going to give Rennie a 10 extra bucks.
Well, that's nice of you, Jim.
Thank you, Gord, for correcting me on that one.
Rennie, you owe me $5 here for that.
All right, we'll take a break. Latest news on the way. We'll run down the scoreboard. Canada's on the medal podium again, and we'll come back. We'll talk about all the hockey stuff with TSN Hockey Insider Dave Poulin coming up next here on TSN 1200.